that you may know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, he came with faith. Simple, strong, that paralyzed man. He was carried, rolled up in his mat, by four of his friends. He came looking for healing, but he found forgiveness first, before he left on his own two feet, healed. We come on Sundays looking for forgiveness. But if we could ever learn to give as good as we get, we too would go home with something else, healing. And all of this is the good news. It is the Holy Gospel. Yesterday, the more I read over this precious little pericope, which means a selection from the scripture read on a particular Sunday, the more I am amazed. You have right here compressed a theophany, a manifestation of God in human flesh, the Son of Man, along with a catechism class. So much for the logic of Christ's divinity as for the largesse of the system of sacraments, the forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. And then our Lord points us towards something we tend to forget, the fruit of forgiveness, healing not only for soul, but for body. And finally, this gospel is an antidote to the modernist poison pumped out by this Bergoglio over time and lapped up by the world, which leaves believers and even Protestants and atheists troubled, confused. Imagine saying the church talks too much about the sins of the day, the sins against marriage and against nature, the sins against holy purity, against innocent life itself, the sins against the survival of the soul, of society, of the family, of Christendom. Oh, the abortion people are mighty happy this weekend. You know, they took out a full-page ad. Thank you, Pope Francis. His message? Time to ease up on all that heavy stuff. Criticizing the church for talking about sin, the sin that afflicts us today, is like saying the medical industry carries on too much about cancer or blood pressure or heart disease. That's why they're in place. And that is why he is here, Dr. Jesus. Not just to forgive, but to heal. In this interview that everyone's talking about, Bergoglio shows himself to be the essential modernist. Pray for him. Poor Mr. B. May God forgive him, and may he heal him as well. This Antichrist, seated in Rome, just as Our Lady at La Salette predicted. Now, we knew, if we've done any reading at all, for decades, that they didn't believe in miracles, the modernists. Not really. Not in the feeding of the 5,000, not in the healing of the paralyzed man today, not even in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Francis says that all of this is, quote, a disjointed multitude of doctrines,
which you could hardly expect modern people to follow today.
And now we know what they think about morality. The other ones before would always publicly insist on the Ten Commandments, Paul VI against birth control, and J.P. II against abortion, at least, and it was something. But now, the words once whispered to the cognoscenti, to those in the know, you see, it is a kind of a gnosis, this modernism, a hidden knowledge. It works like a Masonic lodge handshake, sort of nudge, nudge, and wink, wink, and we're all in this together, but don't talk about it too much. The idea is this: you don't really believe all of that, do you? Now, this gives way to the logorrhea of the loquacious one in Rome. The cumulative effect of this revelation is stunning. Protestants are scandalized. That atheists are going to heaven? And atheists are annoyed. They don't want to be forgiven by a non-existent God, they claim. And we Catholics who are left, as we file into, this is Bergoglio's phrase, our small chapels this Sunday, and despite what he says, this is what the functioning Catholic Church is reduced to. We remember the truth. It is not now, nor was it ever, a matter of Latin, of preferring the old to the new, in the days when you could get a little bit of quiet prayer in at church. No, it is ever the same struggle since the start, more than 50 years ago, for the same truth for him who is the way and the life and the truth. So, let's follow him. Let's squeeze in to that crowded house at Capernaum where the Savior is holding forth. Some of us remember going to Mass sometimes under those circumstances, a crowded house. That's how the curé of ours made his first Holy Communion in the family kitchen, because his family said no to the Mass of the Revolution, even though, as they do today, they were saying it in Latin. The paralyzed man, he can't get in, it's too crowded. He's up on the roof, of all things, with his friends. They've moved the branches and broken the little clay tiles that might have been up there, and with ropes, they're letting him down, all rolled up in his mat, right in front of the divine doctor, who stops in his discourse. He sees this man's faith. Now remember what Father told us last Sunday about faith. He accepts as true that which God reveals through the church. Our Lord sees something else as well. The sick man is troubled. He's depressed, even saddened. Why? At the thought of his sins. How can I be healed? In effect, he says, no, I need to get to confession first. Christ comforts him. Be of good heart. Now notice, our Lord doesn't say, it's okay. Why, here I am. And we're having a personal encounter. And I'll accompany you on the way. Don't worry about
those details and your sins, everything, you're good, everything's fine. No! The doctor goes to the heart of the matter. Sin, secret, unmentioned, but regretted. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Now here, our Lord interrupts the miracle to teach us about the miracle of the incarnation, which the modernists covertly, secretly deny, that you may know. But our Lord reads hearts. He knows who believes. God alone forgives sins. That's the first in this little syllogism, our Lord's divine logic. God alone can forgive sins. I forgive sins. Therefore, I am God. And now I will prove it to you and make this paralyzed man take up his mat and walk home. Remember that miracles are worked in the Gospels, not out of compassion for one individual. Of course, our Lord feels that way, but for compassion for the whole wounded human race, to establish his credentials as the Son of the living God, but that you may know. There's a final lesson in today's Gospel, too. The crowd, Matthew writes, first fears God and then glorifies God. And why? He writes, who gave such power not to a man, not to the Son of Man, but the plural, who gave such power to men. Why? St. Matthew is thinking about what he'll be writing a few chapters down the pike, about how our Lord gave power to the 12 apostles to forgive sins. We should be filled with fear, faithful, that the finger of God still writes in our midst, that the valid priesthood, the sacrament of penance, the forgiveness of sins are ours. But wait, there is more. After forgiveness comes healing. Some Jews of old, as some Protestants today, believe that sickness was a direct punishment for an individual's sin. No, that's not true. But sin is all bound up with sickness. They are inextricably linked. How do we get rid of sin? Well, you get forgiven. How do you get forgiven? Either an act of perfect contrition or the sacramental confession with, I note, the firm purpose of amendment, such as our friend in Rome seems to have pretty much dispensed with. All sins could be forgiven? There's no limit? Yes, on God's part, except for the limits you yourself impose. You know the words. You say them every day. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. St. Matthew will write succinctly in his Gospel, our Lord's words, if you will forgive men their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also your offenses. There. It is as simple as that. And with this forgiveness comes healing. Now, here comes the hard part for us traditional Catholics. One thing to talk about them modernists in Rome, but another, it is another thing to be able to leave church today in good health. But you know, you may, if you will leave behind your rancor and your resentment and your rash judgments and cold shoulders. Forgive, not only to be forgiven, so that you can take up the glorious battle for the Catholic faith and fight with your fellow Catholics for the truth and not against them. Forgive also to be healed, soldier. We need you in good shape. Even the world, the medical industry today, sings the wonders of forgiveness. Will you alone stay silent? The Mayo Clinic has an interesting article posted on its website entitled "Forgiveness: Letting Go of Grudges and Bitterness," and listing all the benefits: greater well-being, healthier relationships, decreased stress and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, anxiety, and chronic pain, lower risk of alcohol and drug abuse. They don't mention the part about getting your sins forgiven and not going to hell, but we know that that is true. These are the blessings awaiting you today. Why not claim them for yourself? Here, in the small chapel of the true Catholic Church, with its confessional and its Our Father sung before Holy Communion, and its Lord enthroned as King on the altar. That God who alone can forgive sins and more, he would send you home today, healed. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.